I'm telling you, some of them was, what was that first thing? Black gold or something else. And it was tea. Didn't they know what tea is? These are Southern people, you know. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Appreciate Ken and others for doing that. Melvia and several others were helping in that. And we do appreciate them doing that and enjoying that. And thank you so very much for that. As I mentioned in Bible class, Mark is at Mount Carmel. Their preacher was out of town. And so he went down there. He's going to teach the Bible class and preach there this morning. And then he'll be back here tonight and preaching here. So we're fortunate to have him and fortunate that he can go to other places sometimes and get to preach and help them out. Because sometimes we're fortunate here. We have several people that can preach. Preacher's not one of them, though, but that's the way it goes. But we have several people that can preach. And so it makes it a little easier for us than for some congregations. I've seen some congregations where they didn't have anybody outside of their preacher that they had. And if he's gone, they had to get somebody else to come in. But we've got a lot of men here that can step in and do the job if it needs to be done. Let me ask you something. Do you know how many divorced men it takes to change a light bulb? They ain't changing it. It ain't their house. Their wife got it. Isn't that good? Didn't you like that? I thought that was the funniest thing. People are going, oh, man, he's got a weird sense of humor. Oh, me. But I want you to feel good today. I want you to be encouraged today because we're going to talk about encouragement, and we need that. We live in a world that is very discouraging sometimes. Sometimes people get up and their car won't crank in the morning. I was late for Bible class. Linda called me about 5 or 10 after and said, my car won't crank. She's already diagnosed it. I hope she fixes it too. She said, it's not the battery, it's the starter. I said, you better hope it's the battery and not the starter. Those cars they don't come cheap when you're working on the starters. But that's life. You have that. You get up in the morning, you're ready to go, you feel real good, and you walk out and you've got a flat tire. Now, what's the sense in that? What are we supposed to learn from that? I mean, we have all these things that go wrong in our life, and what are we supposed to learn about those things? How are we supposed to understand those and let those things be encouraging? Let me tell you something. Sometimes we just need to look at stuff like that and laugh at it because that's all we're going to do. It doesn't do any good to get mad. It doesn't do any good to growl around about it and be mad all day long because those things are going to happen to every one of us. But we need encouragement. I'm going to talk to you today about something that is the greatest encouragement that you can ever have. And it's not a lot of money. But I want you to know about these things that we need to be encouraged about. Now, look at this. I got to punch this button here. All right. I want you to recognize that we've got a God and we need to be encouraged because of that. Amen. We have a God over us, and that needs to encourage us because that God is always there. He never leaves us. Jesus, when he was leaving this old world, he said, listen, I will be with you until the end of the age, until the end of the world. I'll be there with you. I want to be a part of your life. Now, in Malachi 3 and verse 6, God said, for I am the Lord, I change not. I'm not going to change. I'm going to be the same. And I want you to know that because we can depend on him. Isn't it great to have somebody that you can depend on that'll always be there with you? Right or wrong, they'll be there. Now, they'll tell you that they're not happy with the way you're living your life, but they're there with you. And they want to help you. They want to encourage you. Everything that Christians have is found from God, is given to us by God. And he withholds nothing from us that we really, really need. And God doesn't change. As I mentioned up here, sometimes, you know, I've seen husbands and wives where they change their mind. They can grow apart from each other. They can grow together with each other. They can do those. Sometimes they change their mind about who they love, who they want to live with. They change their minds about that. And then also, we've got umpires. And I don't know. Do you like this thing in the football games and the baseball games where they have to go over there and look at that little down in that little box, and they look and see the play, and they look at both all sides of it, and then they make their decision. It's okay. Touchdown. No touchdown. They change their mind. But now, listen to this. We got to understand that IRS changes their mind. Did you know that? But it usually costs you more money when they change their mind. And you don't like that. You don't want that. But we live in a world of change. We live in a world that is different. Tomorrow is going to be Monday. But let me tell you, it won't be the same Monday that you had last week. It's a new Monday. So don't regret it. Enjoy it. It may not be like last week. Do you believe that? Some of you are going, it's going to be the same old thing. Well, it might be, but enjoy what you have. Enjoy that. You've got a job. A lot of people would love to have a job that they could go in and work at on Monday morning. A lot of people would enjoy doing that, and we need to recognize that. There are two rules, and these are things that I think we need to use, and I'm just throwing this in here. It has nothing to do with the sermon. But there are two rules about how to have a happy marriage. I'm going to give you both of them. Now, pay attention. The first rule is a woman can change her mind any time she wants to. And if we lived in a congregation where it was all right for women to say amen, I'd get 50 of them right now. Isn't that right? Yeah. Second rule, important. If a man is going to change his mind, he's got to ask his wife first. Amen. Poke that husband of yours with an elbow. Tell him to holler out. Even if it's just, that hurt. Let him know. Those are the two rules that we've got to follow. Those are the two important things. God doesn't change His mind. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is the God of all things. We need to be glad that God doesn't change, because He is one that we can depend on, that we can trust in, because it is safe. He's never going to let us down. Listen to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Have you ever worked with anybody that you didn't know who you were going to work with that day? I saw a fella, I worked with a fella one time. You couldn't tell whether he was going to be happy or sad, mad or whatever. He could come in just joyful, happy, laughing, and then the next day he's grouchy and everything else. I told him he's going to have to figure out which person he was. It was too hard for me to change. He needed to figure out whether he's going to be happy or mad, and then I know how to treat him. Of course, I was really going to treat him the same way, but I was really going to aggravate him when he was mad, because he didn't need to be that way. We have to recognize that the God is the same. You know, life is like riding in a boat. If you've ever ridden in a boat, you could turn the motor off and you're still moving. You're still going here. You're still going there. And certainly it's wonderful that when we have God, we have an anchor, that we may go around and around, but we're going to be solid there. Because, you see, God, Jesus Christ, all of heaven is an anchor for the soul. And if we have this Word in us, it is a thing that we're going to have. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God says His Word will not pass away. We can trust in that. He says, I love you. He's going to love us no matter what. He says, I'm going to save you. He can save us no matter what we do, if we're willing to repent of it. He has the power to do that. He wants to do that. That's what God's trying to do. And we need to have a confidence in Him, and that should encourage us to know we've got somebody on our side that has the power to change things. And we can trust in that. Now, look at this. I may get through with this sermon too fast today. Y'all may be upset with me. We've got to understand that God is in control of all of our needs. Now, I thought about just starting up here with Joe and finding out, what do you need? And I'm sure people would say, I need more money. I need more time. I need more hair. I need less hair. I need whatever, you know. We have all these things that we need, and we're spending our time trying to get them. And so we're running around, working over, doing all this stuff, trying to get all this, denying ourselves things so that we can have this over here. And we're looking at all these things. We in America live a lavish lifestyle. You don't realize how lavish this is. I was talking with a fellow the other day, and I said, you know, I wish everybody could go on a mission trip in a foreign country and see what some people have to go through. See how they have to live their lives. See what they don't have and what we have. We need to be grateful for what we have. We need to thank God for everything we have. But sometimes we're like the little hamster that's in that little cage in there that has the little the spinny wheel thing. I don't know what you call that, but we kept one time for a young lady, and that thing would get in there, and he would just run and run and run and run and run. And I thought, why is he running? He's not going anywhere. Kind of like rocking. You rock, but you never go anywhere. Isn't that the way we are with all these things that we think we need? And I found out that when you get older, you're trying to figure out, what do I do with all this stuff that I've got now? How do I handle that? And it is one way to get back at your kids, so go to the yard sales and buy as much as you can and fill your closets up and your garage up, and then when you die, you can die with a smile on your face knowing they're going to say, what in the world was he doing? I know my kids are going to say that. Why did he say this stuff? It's not worth anything. I thought it was. But they said, no, it's not. But it's all these things that we think that we need. But it's not what we need, it's what we want. Oh, man, we want a new car. I know one fellow really wants a new car. Won't mention any names or anything, okay? Y'all try to figure out who that is. Want a bigger house. I want this and I want that. And we got a lot of wants. But let me tell you something. We don't have a lot of needs. You know the only thing that we need is God on our side. That's all we need. You say, oh, I'd like to have this and I'd like to have that. Yeah, but you can get by without it. You know one of the arguments that people made that there is no God? It's because of all the problems and troubles and difficulties we have to deal with in our life. Let me tell you something. That can cause us to turn away from God, but it also can cause us to turn to God. Because we see all these things. We see all these problems. And we know there's really nothing compared to God. Nothing is worth the soul. I think I read a book one time that said something like that. To gain the world and all the works that are there in it, really nothing. But to gain God is really something. To have God on your side and for you to be on God's side is very important for us to recognize. God is in control. That gives us an encouragement to know whatever happens in this life, God's still there. He's still with us, and He's not going to let us go no matter what happens. He's going to be on our side. God is able to meet those needs that we have. What do we need? We need forgiveness. We need love. We need somebody that will accept us, even when we do wrong. They'll love us, even when we do right. Or wrong, that they're going to love us. How wonderful it is to know that we've got a God like that. That we've got a God that we can depend on, we can trust in. If we have food, if we have clothes, let us be content, Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8. If we've got that, we look at all the things that we have, there's some people in the world that they don't have anything. They just barely have enough food to get by on. Now, how many of us are like that? Now, our refrigerator may get empty from time to time, But we know we can put stuff back in it. We know we can put food there. And we may have food. It may not be what we want to eat, but it may be what we need to eat. So we need to learn to trust in God, depend upon God, because He's going to supply everything that we really need. He's going to give us everything that we need. We've got to understand that. God is in control. God is in control of our lives. We have the power to determine to walk with God or not walk with God. And God's left that up to us. You see, God has created us as free moral agents, and He wants to give us everything that we can. Everything that He can. So that we can have a good life. And I'm going to tell you something. God has given us everything we need to have a good life. He's given you life up until now. He's helped you to be the person you are. And what He wants is a person who is willing to serve Him and do His will because He loves you. No matter what you do, God loves you. Understand that. Don't ever forget that. Now, He wants you to turn from sins. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to do His will. And if we don't do those things, then He's going to have to say, "Depart from me. I don't know you." Because He's told us how He wants us to live. And we can live an abundant life here. Greater and better than anything that we can find in this world. Does God care about the trials that we're going through and the problems that we deal? Yes, He does. Some people in the midst of heartache and trouble, they ask the question, "Where's God at?" Fella said, He's at the same place He was when His son was hanging on the cross. He's at the same place He was when they killed the prophets. He's at the same place He was when you obeyed the gospel and He was willing to forgive you of your sins. God's there, and we can depend on Him. Why is the purpose of the trials? I don't really know about some of these things. I don't know why we have to deal with some of the things. Why do we have cancer? Why do we have people who the parents abuse the children? Why do we have children that abuse the parents? Why do we have people that will murder other people? Why do we have people that will steal from other people and do anything to gain what the world has? Knowing that it's just going to vanish away. It's not going to be there. And it's all going to go away. This question is so important. Our trials have a purpose. What's the purpose of the problems? What's the purpose of the trials that we have to deal with? The purpose of the trials that we have to deal with is for us to see this world is not our home. That we have another place that's better than this. That we have a place where all pain, all heartache, all trouble, all those things are gone. Read Revelation, the last two chapters. The end of God's message to mankind. The final letter. To tell us the important things. Many people question God, and where's God at? God's always there. He's not far from us. He's not far from us because He cares for us and He wants to help us. There was a preacher that went to visit a lady. This lady, because of some problems in her life, had become very disenchanted with God. Forget disenchanted, she was mad at Him. And the preacher went there trying to talk to her and trying to help her to understand who God was and that God loved her, that God cared for her, and he had tried everything that he knew, and the lady was still obstinate about that. You ever met anybody like that? You ladies married to a guy like that? Joe said this was okay. Yeah, that's right. And he had tried everything he could. She was sitting there doing her cross stitch, and she was doing that cross stitch stuff. And, you know, I did cross stitch for a long time. And Linda looked at it and said, "The back looks bad." I said, "I don't care. I'm not looking at the back." This preacher reached over there, and he grabbed that cross stitch, and he turned it over. He said, "Lady, this looks like a mess." She said, "Why, that's the wrong side." He said, "Maybe you're looking at the wrong side of life. And you need to look at the other side, where God has His plan for you and His plan for your life." Now, in the illustration, I don't know if she caught that or not. But you may look at your life and say, you know, there's a lot of things in my life that are creating problems and difficulties, and I have to deal with a lot of them. And we all do. And we all will. But please don't think that this world is all there is. Please don't think that the troubles that you're dealing with are things that you've got to deal with in eternity. God said all those things are going to be gone. We talk about the good old days, but if you get to thinking about the good old days, they weren't so good. They weren't so good. But you see, we look back now, and we look back in a fond way at them. Let me tell you something. When we're in heaven, we're going to look back at this world and say, "God, why didn't you get me here sooner? Why didn't you let me up a day or two early? Why didn't you, God? This is the greatest place that it could ever be. Look at what you've said in your word, what you've done for us, how you love us, how you care for us. What's the purpose of trouble? What's the purpose of problems? I don't know. I don't worry about that. I can't even see that. I got to look at all that God's given me. I've got to look at how He's blessed me." When I think of people and their troubles, I think of Genesis 45, verse 5. Here's old Joseph. He's been put in a pit. He's been beaten. He's been put in prison. He's been put in a house with a bad woman to live with. He's been neglected. And now the people that started all that are standing before him. And they're afraid that he's going to kill every one of them. And that might be the way some people would live. But Joseph said to his brothers, "I want to think with a tear in his eye. Don't see that there, but I want to think that he's got it. Boys, you don't understand. What you meant for me was bad, but God had a good meaning in it. The trouble you're going through right now, the problems you're having to deal right now, that's just almost ripping your heart out of your chest. The things that you've got to deal with right now. Let me tell you something. God may have a big purpose in that for you. For some people, we face problems to tenderize our heart and difficulties. I've seen people that they didn't see their sins and they couldn't understand the sins of others. They couldn't understand the idea of being patient with people and loving people and trying to help people to overcome sin. Lifting them up, like Paul talked about, like a broken arm. Restoring them with a spirit and with a heart that is so great. Listen to what Paul said. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 5. "We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed." We put our trust in God. You don't have to be ashamed of that. You don't have to be ashamed of that. It's a great thing to put that there, because the reason, the love of God is shed abroad. I'm going to change that just a little bit. The love of God is just broad. I don't think that hurts the text at all. The love of God is broad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He said, "Troubles, we've got them, but look at what they do. They help us to have a humility. They help us to have a tenderness. They soften us up for the sins of others, for the troubles of others, and even for our own." That we learn to trust in God. Romans 8, verse 28. Look at what it says here. Look at this. "And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We have a God that has called us. He has a purpose for us. He has something that we can do. And He wants us to use what we've been given. Not just the good, but the bad too. He wants us to use that so we can be drawn closer to Him. Your problems are not going to go away. Your difficulties are not going to just vanish. Sometimes people leave the impression, oh, if you come and you're baptized, you don't have any more problems. Listen, you don't have any more sins. You still got the same problems. The difficulties are still there. If you're baptized and you're living with an old cantankerous fella, he's still going to be cantankerous. If you're working on a job that you don't like and you're baptized, you may not like that job still. It's not going to take away all of our difficulties. But God will be there to encourage us and lift us up and help us to go on. We need to smile more as Christians. We need to be people that we recognize that we have God that is over us. We have God that is with us. We have God that is in us. And we need to rejoice about it. We need to be encouraged about it. We need to be happy about it. So if you go out in the morning and your car won't crank, just think, I could call Charles and tell him to come change my tire, and I'd feel a lot better about that. Fight that urge. Don't do that. We're going to have those things. But always remember, God will forgive you of your sins. And when you look at that tire and it's flat, or you look at that problem you got to deal with, you'll think, that's nothing. I got that beat. In 100 years, I won't even remember this. Because I'll be rejoicing with God. If you're not a Christian, I want to plead with you to become a child of God today. I want to plead with you to come and repent of your sins and turn from those things, because I guarantee you God will forgive you. He'll love you. And He'll keep on forgiving you for things that you do that are wrong until the day we leave this world. And He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not that you've done everything right, but He knows your heart, and He knows that you've turned from your sins. And He will receive you in. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit, receive as a reward all the things that heaven has to offer. God has that for us. God wants us to have that. So you can have that if you want to become a Christian. You can have those problems and difficulties that you deal with in your life. You can have those things to where they're not as bad. They're still there, but they're not as bad. Because you're right with God. So please repent of sins. Please turn from those things. We sing this song to plead with all of us to look at our lives. Come to the God that encourages today as we stand and as we sing.